Hey, on the phone, speaking of beer, I'm glad you brought that up. On the phone right now, we have Dale Kleinschmidt, who's going to be joining us. And Dale is the head brewer down at Lake Superior Brewing Company in Duluth. And they have just won, actually, it's their second gold medal, I believe, that they've won. This one for their Oktoberfest beer, and that was at an international or world beer championship down in Chicago. Dale, we want to thank you so much for joining us, giving us your time tonight, and welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, we most people, the word beer brings on a pleasant, you know, thoughts.
Absolutely.
And when you make a great beer, that's even better. And you guys down there have won a number of awards over the years. Were you with Lake Superior Brewing Company right from the beginning?
No, I've been here essentially since day two, but I have to say that Bob Dromishauser founded the company in 1994, and I was not around as part of the brewing scene at that time, but I showed up as a guest brewer then in June of 1995.
That's about when they started winning awards.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that imaginative compliment. We didn't really enter awards because it's not inexpensive to do so, but I felt back in 2002 that it was certainly worth doing, so I dug into my pocketbook and entered five of our beers into the 2002 World Beer Championships. And, we did quite well, I thought. We were able to get four silver medals and one gold.
And that was for the oatmeal stout, I believe.
Yes, it was.
My favorite of the beers that make down at Lake Superior Brewery. But there's also a new one that I saw, new to me, on the website, your current beer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Are you referring to the Oktoberfest?
No, the one that's this winter's beer.
Oh, the Old Man Winter Warmer. Well, that's actually one of the beers that we won a silver medal with back in 2002. The difference is, we have changed the recipe from that time to now. The 2002 sample that we sent in was a blonde. That was our original recipe. So it was basically a double-strength special ale. So it was a blonde color. I believe it was the following year then we decided, or I decided, to change the recipe to a darker beer, and we think it's actually quite a bit better. And I have not resubmitted that for evaluation at the beer championship. But I'm curious to do so. One of these days we'll do that when the style comes back up around for evaluation.
You know, this will be a kind of a very broad, difficult question, but I just want to throw it out there anyway. What is it that makes about the way that you handle the product, the way that you go through this, that really makes a good beer? You know, it seems like a mystery to most folks. Is it a mystery? All right. Can you talk about this?
It's a secret.
Oh, I don't want you to get killed.
No, it's just like making food or anything else that involves cooking. It's obviously you have to have quality ingredients and be careful in your processes. Pay attention to what you're doing, and hopefully you have a bit of a knack for putting these quality ingredients together. What we always try for is a balance. And regardless of what style of beers that we're making, we want to have a balance in the range of flavors, whether it be the bitterness as compared to the aroma and flavor, you know, how malty is it? Is it somewhat according to style? Of course, we always put our own interpretation to a style. But there are style guidelines, you know, like you wouldn't have a blonde stout, let's say. There is no such thing. So if you're going to make a stout, then you have to have certain ingredients involved in that. And of course, then the proportions of those ingredients are what comes into play.
And those are things that that you play with to find out what's really good. So you must have a good taste, a set of taste buds yourself.
Well, we know what we like.
Uh-huh. Then you mentioned the aroma of the beer, and I know just from wines that a lot of what you taste is actually, it's in your nose.
Mm-hmm. And that's the idea of servers. When you're getting your frothy glass of beer, you might think, well, hey, I'm paying for beer, not a bunch of foam. But a foam is a critical component that carries those aromatics out of the liquid into the air and into your schnozzle, so you can appreciate it. But, of course, there is a balance between having a glass full of foam and no liquid and having a glass full of liquid and no foam.
So, actually, you do want a good, like a head on your glass of beer so that you get better taste.
Yes.
So, Dale, should I not be drinking my beer right out of the bottle then?
Well, you're inhibiting some of the minutiae of flavor appreciation.
Okay.
But as long as you drink it, that's fine.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
And, you know, people talk about, oh, you need to serve it at this temperature or that temperature, or you should be drinking this or that, or out of the bottle or into the glass or out of a keg. And, you know, it's however you like it. And that's the only thing that matters to me is, you know, if you want it, pour it over ice, and that's your thing, that's fine with me. As long as you enjoy it, that's the whole idea.
That, you know, you already brought up the next question that I had in mind, and that
brilliant.
Was, you were thinking just the way I'm thinking. That has to do with temperature, because I'm never too clear on that. You don't want to, are there certain beers that you want cold, certain beers that you don't want cold? Does it have to do with dark beer, light beer? How's that
not
work?
Really, not anything to do with color per se. Mm-hmm. Style more than anything. Even what the weather is outside. Typically, it's summer days. People are going to be drinking lighter beers, and a lot of times we drink them cold. Now, you are going to inhibit some of the flavor appreciation because you're just numbing down your taste buds. But some of the real light beers, I'm not going to name names or anything, and they're all fantastically well made, but there's not a lot of flavor in there to begin with. And if you're dying for a cold frosty, then you should have it cold and frosty. But just be aware that if you were to warm that, even that same beer up, you might find that it has a whole different range of flavors that you've never appreciated before.
So if it doesn't happen to be in the fridge yet, there's no reason why you shouldn't be drinking it.
No, correct. You know, personally, I have beer at home. It's rare that it gets in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was homebrewing fairly regularly, I never put it in the fridge. I would just put it down in the basement, and whatever cellar temperature was, that's the way I liked it. And people talk about beers being served over in the U.K. and how it's warm beer. Well, it's not warm. That really does sound unappealing. Mm-hmm. It's cellar temperature.
So don't leave it out in the sun.
It's going to be down in the 50s, and ideal temperatures, even for some of the lagers, are in the mid 40s, and that's a pretty dang cold piece of liquid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But try some of the beers like our Kayak Kolsch. When we have it served on some bars, they'll serve it very cold, and it's a very crisp lager. And then if you have it in the bottle and you let it sit out, there's a whole other range of flavors that come out. It's almost a completely different beer at warmer temperatures.
We're speaking with Dale Kleinschmidt, and Dale is the head brewer down at Lake Superior Brewing Company, where they won another medal this year, this time for their Oktoberfest lager. That's a gold medal at the World Championships in Chicago. Dale, I want to get a little bit into a little different topic here. I don't know where we'll go with it, but I've had times where I have people over, and I've got, you know, Lake Superior lager in my fridge. And they're used to drinking Bud Light, or I don't know if I should be mentioning these names, but different.
No, I take offense to it.
Those types of Miller Genuine, something
sure.
like that. And, you know, they kind of, is there a cultural thing that makes it difficult for people to accept a crafted beer or to appreciate it? Is there a process there?
Well, typically it's hard to blow someone out of their rut. If they've been drinking the mega beers all of their lives, and that's what they think of when they think of beer, it's unfortunate that they're limiting themselves. But again, I go back to, if that's what you really enjoy, then by all means, go ahead and enjoy it. But if you've never, ever tried other varieties, then you're really missing out. It would be something like, I've only eaten Wonder Bread all my life. I've never had Swedish Limpa Rye or Caraway or you know, whole wheat or anything like that. Typically, then if someone wants to try to get into the more exotic brands, that you don't want to necessarily go from one extreme to the other, but we like to introduce people drinking the mega brands with our Kaya Kolsch. It's a very easy, palatable style. It is not a simple beer. It's fairly complex, but it's not an offensive. It's not overly malty. It's not overly hoppy. It's not super alcoholic. It's not watery. You know, it's just a real nice blend that I think most people can easily approach.
So that'd be a great transition beer.
It really would. And, you know, people are funny creatures. Sometimes if they've been drinking nothing but the light domestics, and you hand them an oatmeal stout, which is the exact opposite mm-hmm. end of the spectrum, you'd be surprised how many people would go, man, that's really good.
Yeah.
And we've had tours in here to the brewery, and, you know, a group of young people in the age spectrum are in here, and they'll commonly ask, well, what's your favorite beer? And I'll go on to blather endlessly about what beers I like. And one occasion we had a fellow said, stop right there. Before you tell us what is your favorite beer, I got to tell you, I've been on this tour before, and I didn't like beer, period. Didn't like it, didn't drink it, nothing.
And what was he doing there?
And you gave me some oatmeal stout, and that was the end of it. He's a beer lover from that day on.
Isn't that something?
So all the best you can do, in my book anyway, is to, all you can do is ask people to try it, give it an honest try, and if they really don't like it, that's fine. You know, there's more than 80 different styles of other beers to try. You know, that's just styles, not just brands. So there is something out there literally for everybody.
Do you ever go into the office and you're working and it's just one of those days you can't even, you just can't stand the smell of beer that day? I mean,
no.
You're around it every day.
No.
No.
Really? You're hooked.
No. No, to me, one of the best smells in the world is when we mash in. So mashing in is incorporating crushed barley, malted barley, with hot water. And that activates the enzymes that were locked up during the malting process. And those enzymes are going to go to work converting the long starch molecules into short sugar molecules. And the air is absolutely filled with this sweet, malty aroma. And it's just heaven on earth to me.
What time of day does that happen?
Early.
I'll be down.
And you know, it's funny. We do basically, in round numbers, 500-gallon batches. So we're working typically with about 900 pounds of grain, around 250 gallons of water. When we do little fun things, like a little homebrew, I've done as little as, what was it, maybe 1 pound of grain and a quart of water, and it's that smell is just as intense, and it's just wonderful. And, you know, some people absolutely hate the smell, but I'm not one of them, thankfully.
Can I?
Rose has a question for you, too.
No, my name is Ann, actually. Inside joke. Dale, I was smiling to myself when you made the bread analogy, because I've always thought of beer as kind of as liquid bread.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it feels like real food, mm-hmm. and it feels really nourishing to me. What's the nutrient content in beer?
Oh, I can't tell you the specifics because I'm not a food scientist. But I can tell you that there are a great deal of nutrients in there, healthful nutrients. I can't go, it seems, more than a week without seeing somebody's done a study and found not only digestive benefits, a lot of studies have found health, heart health benefits, and now the latest thing, especially for women, is that it's preserving bone density or even adding to bone density as you age.
That's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
And of course, they're talking about moderate consumption.
And easier than swimming.
I'm sorry?
And it's easier than swimming.
Oh, yeah. Of course, exercise doesn't hurt you either. But moderate consumption for most adult males is 1 to 2 beverages a day, and 1 for women, which doesn't seem quite fair, but they're talking moderate amounts, not saving them all up for Friday night. But 1 a day, literally 1 a day, every day. And teetotalers are much more susceptible to some of the health problems rather than people who are drinking moderately.
Huh, interesting. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's quite a difference.
Well, I believe that beer is one of the major food groups. Yeah, I understand.
And sausage is the other.
Yeah. And they work perfectly.
And coffee and chocolate round out the wheel.
You're my kind of guy, dear. You know, I got to ask you this one last question before we let you go, but what's your favorite beer, Dale?
Oh, you know, there used to be a fellow who was world famous as a beer writer. His name was Michael Jackson. He was kind of a rumpled up Yorkshireman, used to be a food writer for the London Times. And his renown came when he started writing about beer and malt whiskey. And he would write columns for years, but some of the columns would be about his favorite beer. So I'm trying to give you a long answer here. Mm-hmm. But it depends on what mood you're in, what have you been doing, what have you been eating, what time of day it is, what time of year it is. For example, one of his being Michael Jackson's columns, talking about one of his most memorable beers was Coors, because he had been flying all day, gotten in a rental car, driving across the hot Midwest, and was just dead thirsty, and got to a place, and what have you got? And all they had was Coors, and it was just absolutely the perfect thing at that time. So one day it could be a nice Kolsch, or the next day it could be a stout. My go-to beer typically for our brands has been Special Ale, but over the last year I've been changing the recipe for Masabi Red, and I'm really enjoying that now.
Well, so if I come down for a tour, I'll bring you down a Blatt's Light.
Please.
Give me a real test.
and that's just it. It's everybody likes different things, and even the same person can like different things depending on the circumstances. It's very, very, very subjective.
We've been speaking with Dale Kleinschmidt, and Dale, the head brewer at Lake Superior Brewing Company in Duluth. And Dale, we want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight. And also,
thanks for taking the time with me.
We want to wish you a happy Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You as well.
And have a, what's that current beer again?
The Old Man Winter Warmer. That's a barley wine.
Mm. We'll have one of those on Christmas Day.
Yeah, thank you, Dale.
It's weighing in at a measly 9% alcohol.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks again, Dale.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.